Well done. Good job. We're 1 John chapter 1, please. And I'll encourage you to keep your Bible handy, keep your fingers limber, to turn to some scriptures as we go through our Bible study tonight. On the matter of we have fellowship. We have fellowship. And it's a powerful word, familiar word from the New Testament, familiar word in Baptist churches. So the biblical definition of fellowship is not food after the service. You could certainly enjoy fellowship and have food after the service as part of the experience of fellowship, but that's not really the definition unless you're a member of a Baptist church, and the two go very closely together. But one person said the best way to think about the word fellowship is to think of two fellas in the same ship, surrounded by nothing else. It's just a relationship that is close, a relationship that is tight, a relationship that is important. Fellowship, communion, communication, contributions to one another, association, community. These are all words associated with the word in the Bible, fellowship. And we read 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, but if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, being Christ, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Praise the Lord for the cleansing power of the blood. As the choir sang at my request on Sunday night, I think it was, thank God for the cleansing blood. And praise the Lord for the blood that does cleanse us from the stain and the smudging and the stench of sin. The first part of the verse establishes the condition, but if we walk in the light as he, Christ, is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. For fellowship to occur, there must be some common ground. There must be the commonality. There must be the basis upon which communion takes place. And it's not just the physical presence. You know, just because you're having a conversation with someone doesn't mean you're having fellowship. Consider the last time you were pulled over for driving a little too fast. You had a conversation with the law enforcement officer, but you probably wouldn't say, oh, we had great fellowship. We had great fellowship. Maybe not so much. Circumstances can bring us to all kinds of emotional responses, but fellowship is when it is based on commonality and having communion one with another. The basis for our fellowship, one of the basis for our fellowship, is our mutual divine citizenship that's in heaven. We don't belong in this world. So we can't have real fellowship with people who are outside of Christ. We can have friendships, and we can certainly be a witness, and we can show kindness. But we don't experience biblical fellowship with someone who is outside of the Lord Jesus Christ because there's not the basis of commonality. So our citizenship is in heaven. The Bible says in Philippians 3:20, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. How many of you are looking forward to going to heaven? And you believe, don't keep raising your hand because I'll keep asking, it's okay. But you believe heaven is real, right? And you know where your loved ones are that were saved when they left this earth. You know where they are, right? Just 2 days ago was the 5th anniversary of my mother going to heaven. She's in heaven. Yeah, I'm sorry, yesterday. Thank you. Keep me straight. Yesterday, the 5th anniversary. Mom's really been there. In the presence of the Lord Jesus for the last 5 years. There's been some good things and some bad things that have happened in my life and my family's life in that time. But you know not a single bad thing's happened to her in 5 years? And not a single thing bad's going to happen to her for the next 5,000, 5 million, 500 million years. Our fellowship is based on one dynamic being our divine citizenship that's in heaven. And see, so that gives us a different outlook on life and purpose and eternity that lost people don't have. But believers, we have all this together so we can fellowship. Another basis for our fellowship is for our own family relationship as the children of God. Now, I've not gotten down to where you're filling blanks yet. I know some of you are looking quite puzzled, like I got way ahead of you. No, it's all right. We're not to where you mark your paper yet. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 6, one God and the Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. So we have a basis for fellowship that is we're all part of, as we sing on Sunday mornings, the family of God. And so we can commune and we can connect and we can love on and love with each other at a level that you can't do with people who are outside of Christ. So that is a basis for fellowship. Our fellowship is illuminating to us through the Word of God. You see, we hold the Bible to be exactly God's revelation to us. People in the world don't believe that. Even if they believe that there is some spiritual significance to it. Even if they believe that God brought it to humanity. If they don't know Christ, they don't understand that this is every spoken word of God and it was every lived word of Jesus Christ. And they don't understand that. We understand that. So it's a basis for a fellowship. Two fellows in the same ship. And we have a collectiveness. You know, people tend to migrate together based on commonality. You know, it's often said, the politicians love to talk about, America is a melting pot, yes. We're a nation of immigrants, yes. Recent immigrants that have come to our nation in the last 50, 60 years have tended to, as they would even in other countries, come from a foreign country and they kind of collect together. You go to a large metropolitan area and you can find little China, little Italy. You can find hubs and clusters of people of a certain ethnic group. They just tend to collect together out of the big mass crowd. Why? Because they have natural fellowship. They speak the same language. They understand the same cultural significant things. And they have a similar worldview. Well, that's believers. That's who we are. So it's appropriate and right and expected that we cluster together in fellowship. And we'll examine basis and experiences of that fellowship as we go through the message tonight. Number one, here's your blank to fill in. We have fellowship with the Savior. Don't forget that we have fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not just with our believers that are around us. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9, God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son Jesus Christ, our Lord. We have beautiful fellowship with Jesus. Now, right now, it's not full, it's not complete as it will be. As it will be. We fellowship with the Lord Jesus in this life and with an expectation of the fellowship in the next life. He's saying, we sing with conviction, it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. But we also sing with conviction, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the communion and fellowship that we have with the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's promised to never leave us nor forsake us. The Lord Jesus is near to us, near to us. And so we can have fellowship. When we get our mind saturated with the Word of God and our soul, our heart, open, completely yielded to the Holy Spirit, we are ushered into the presence of the Lord Jesus. And it's right like he is physically here, but he is spiritually, actually here, and we fellowship with him. He knows you. He's the friend that sticketh closer than a brother. We have fellowship with the Savior. Fellowship with the Savior. And we have fellowship of the Spirit. A fellowship of the Spirit. Philippians 2:1. If there be, therefore, any consolation in Christ, any comfort of love, any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, You see, there is an expectation that we have fellowship with the Holy Spirit of God. Of course, He lives within us. Hallelujah for that. He has taken up residence within us. But does He have free access and free roam, as it were, in the home of your heart and the home of your mind and the home of your spirit? That the Holy Spirit of God is ever present, but is He ever influential in you? Are we being filled with the Holy Spirit? Or are we letting the worldly things crowd Him out, and selfish and prideful things crowd Him out of the control? Now, fellowship promotes influence. One person in a fellowship relationship tends to rub off on the other. Brother Fox and I, over the last 30 years, have become very, very close friends. And he has influenced me in a lot of good ways. And he tells me that I have influenced him. I said, I find that hard to believe, because I don't know, just hanging around you could make you better looking. But anyway, he says, I have influenced him. And seriously, it's quite true that Brother Fox and I have experienced that iron sharpeneth iron principle from the Word of God. That's what comes out of good fellowship, is influence one for the other. Now, apply this now to our relationship with the Holy Spirit. Influence means change, right? Well, God doesn't change. So the uniqueness of Holy Spirit fellowship is, I don't influence Him, but He influences me if I let Him influence me. And what's the influence that the Holy Spirit would have on a human being in fellowship? You hear me pray from time to time that the Lord would just allow us and cause us to say yes to the Holy Spirit. See, we ought to always be just listening for what the Holy Spirit's wanting. Just say, okay, yes, yes, I'll do that, yes. Just come into agreement. You may think about your friend, your family member that you love and have great fellowship with most of the time, but sometimes, because of sinfulness and pride and all that, sometimes you get a little irritated, a little anger aimed at your friend with whom you most often fellowship with. Anger can come into it. Well, the Holy Spirit, His relationship with us is perfect because He's holy. So He's never going to do anything toward us that would cause us to bow up and react, or it shouldn't, because He's God. Right? We certainly disappoint Him, but God doesn't disappoint us. And the Holy Spirit in us, what does He produce in us? Well, this influence that He has on us, as we engage in prayer and Bible study and experience preaching and teaching, the Holy Spirit is at work in us, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit is, what's the dynamic? Well, we become more like Christ. We become bearers of the fruits of the Spirit. His influence on us brings out in us the divine nature that He has put in us, and the fruit of that, joy, love, peace, long-suffering, meekness, temperance, the fruits of the Spirit. And what are the fruits of the Spirit? They are the characteristics of Christ's likeness. They are the attributes of Christ. And so the Holy Spirit, our fellowship with Him, He rubs off on us. And we all need to be influenced more and more and more by the Holy Spirit. And as we give Him liberty in our life, that we not grieve the Holy Spirit or hinder the Holy Spirit, then He brings out in us the characteristics of Christ's likeness. He rubs off on us in fellowship. And the fruits of the Spirit, those Christ-like characteristics, become more evident and more observable in our life. Number three, there is the fellowship of His suffering. Oh my, preacher, I don't want to sign up for that. The fellowship of His suffering. I want you to turn, if you would, back a few pages to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, where we find that phrase, the fellowship of His sufferings. Philippians 3 and verse 10. And of course, this book written by the Apostle Paul under the direct inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And it reads, that I may know Him, Christ, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. When Paul came to know Christ, it was a personal experience that I may know him. His life completely changed because he met the Lord Jesus on the road to Damascus in Acts chapter 9. He was completely changed on the inside, and immediately it impacted and changed him on the outside. It was a personal experience. And his testimony here, writing now as an apostle years later, that I may know him. He wants to continue to have that personal experience with the Lord Jesus Christ. But Saul, coming to conversion, and as he obeyed the Lord and prayed and did the Lord's will and sought to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ, this personal experience bloomed in his life. He's having fellowship. He's having fellowship with the Savior. In his old life, Saul had walked according to a pretty rigid, very rigid set of rules. But in his new life, he walked alongside a friend, a master, a constant companion who guided him every step of the way, a very personal experience that I may know him. And his journey in Christ was also a powerful experience. He said he wants to know him and he wants to know the power of his resurrection. The resurrection power of Christ went to work in Paul's life. Old things passing away, all things becoming new. We were dead in trespasses and sin, now we're alive unto Christ. And so resurrection power is in him as it's in us. And so he exclaims in Galatians 2:20, Christ liveth in me. He thunders in Philippians chapter 4, I can do all things through Christ. Resurrection power. It was a personal experience, but it was also a powerful experience. And then on top of that, we learn it was a painful experience. And the fellowship of his sufferings. Two fellows in the same ship. You see, part of the Christian life is the fellowship of Christ's sufferings. Paul knew, learned in his experience, came to know that it was a privilege to suffer for Christ. Philippians chapter 1, verse 29 and 34. Unto you is given in behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which he saw in me and now here to be in me. Our charismatic friends and the health wealth boys on TV will try to persuade you that if you'll just give money to God through them, then everything's a guarantee. I saw a couple of clips of some of those yahoos just yesterday. One of them talking about when you give, you have a receipt in heaven that you can cash in anytime you want to. I heard big fellow, Dallas, TD Jakes, talking about how you're going to force God, make God come through on his promises. That's just blasphemy. That's just blasphemy. There is suffering that's part of the Christian experience. Now, we're greatly blessed in this country. We're inconvenienced. We're not persecuted. Now, persecution may be coming. But there are thousands of Christians that have died just in the last few weeks because they will not denounce Jesus Christ. Places in China, places in the Middle East. Oh, we're getting marginalized here in America. I understand that. And if we don't see a revival, it's not going to change. Paul had endured the rejection, the persecution from the very beginning of his walk with the Lord. He was a traitor to those that he had been on the leader of their side to persecute the cause of Christ. He was suspect by the believers because they knew he had brought many to jail and imprisonment and death. They didn't trust him. He knew what it was to have persecution when he went to these Gentile cities and would preach Christ. And, you know, he was stoned, he was beaten, left for dead. He endured these things throughout his ministry and his life. And the farther we go with Christ, the more the enemy will confront us with direct assaults and attacks. Won't you imagine, excuse me, that Satan had a target on Paul? No doubt. And if you'll live for Christ, Satan will put a target on you. But that's okay. Greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. And Jesus said, paraphrasing, don't be surprised that the world hates you. They hate me. So if we identify with him, then the world is going to hate us. John 15, 18. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. Christ gives us the promise of suffering that, as it were, we're in this together with him, the fellowship of his suffering. Then we have the fellowship. We enjoy the fellowship with the saints. That's where we go right out of the gate. We bring up the word fellowship and walking in the light. He is in the light of fellowship one with another. Okay. And we think about Acts chapter 2, verse 42, those beginning days of the early church. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread. There it is. It's in the Bible. They eat together. And in prayers. And they pray together. They have commonality and communion. We enjoy the fellowship of the saints. You see, Christian people who are right with God will enjoy the presence and the interaction of other Christian people who are right with God. How crafty and subtle is our enemy? Is our enemy. The most significant thing that Satan has done to hinder the cause of Christ in the past few years is to bring the church to its knees with a virus. And we all know people. They're out of church now. They're out of church. Now, I know some went to different churches and all that. I understand that. But we all know people. They're out of church, and they're out of church for no good reason. They're out of church for no good reason. People that you would have thought, I would have thought, well, they'll never walk away from church. They'll never do that. But we've been surprised, haven't we? Satan is cunning. He's crafty. And what is needed in every Christian's life is exposure and interaction and the presence and the fellowship with other believers. And Satan has robbed a significant number of people of that. I mean, my circle of friends is a lot of pastors and people I know. I mean, lots of pastors. And when pastors run into each other, meet pastors. I met two new pastors up in the east. They're from the Eastern Panhandle last week. And inevitably, there's a little bit of a conversation. Well, how's your church doing coming out of COVID? And with rare exception, we're all in the same boat. Well, we're trying to get this going again. Most of our people are back. And you know, it looks like some aren't coming back. Looks like some aren't coming. That's every pastor I know will say that. We enjoy the fellowship of the saints. We need the fellowship of the saints. It's part of the biblical prescription for the believer's life. Fellowshipping together. Christian people who are right with God will enjoy the presence and interaction of other Christians who are right with God. I'm going to give you that one, AJ, to put in our social media quotes, all right? Number five, there's the fellowship of service. See, we fellowship together not just because it helps us and encourages us and promotes growth, but fellowship provides the platform for workmanship, for the doing of the work, working together. There's the fellowship of service. So my earliest memories of Maranatha Baptist Church, and the church was planted when I was just a few days shy of my 9th birthday. I have memories as a 9, 10, 11-year-old boy of the men of our church working together. Mr. Van Horn, John Wright, Bob Kuhn, working on a bus, pulling the motor out of a big old bus. I remember Noble and Mr. Davis, and Don Austin, doing anything and everything around our church facility. And I don't mean the building at 7020 Sissonville Drive. I'm talking about the little teeny building that no longer exists that sat across from where the library now sits. Trying to make that little building functionable for the Lord's work. And those are all very pleasant memories. Those folks, those men are having a good time fellowshipping in the work of the Lord. And that experience, that type of experience, marks the legacy of our entire church and most good churches that we would even know of. Because Christians are designed to work together. We're not flying solo out, you know, rounding up strays out on the back 40. Nobody else around us. No, we work together. Workers together. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 8:4, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. I know you people that go up to Looneyville have a good time, or you would have bailed out on that a long time ago. So you're doing significant work. The word of the Lord, the Bible, the word of God doesn't return void. So you're working to plant and sow the word of God, preparing the seed to get out. But you're having fellowship in the work. Fellowship in the work. 2 Corinthians 6:1, we then as workers together with him. Workers together with him. Beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. It's a privilege. It's a joy. It's a blessing of grace from God that we get the opportunity to work together for his glory and under his blessing. We just give him our best. He blesses it and we trust him to provide the results. And we serve one another in the name of Jesus, working together. Galatians 5:13, for brethren, ye have been called into liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. The fellowship of service. And now lastly, we'll wrap this up. Consider, we kind of turn the thought just a moment. Be aware of the prohibitive of fellowship. You see, there is a fellowship that we are not to have. We've identified five facets, if you will, of fellowship that we are to thrive in and joy in and participate in. But consider the fellowship that we are not to have. There is a fellowship of Satan. And it's appealing. That's the nature of anything satanic. It looks good, but inside is evil and bad. The Bible exhorts us in chapter 5 of Ephesians, verse 11, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. That verse is saying not only are we to not to just passively, well, that's evil over there. I'm just going to move over here, keeping away from that. It says, but rather to reprove them. In other words, to say, hey, that's bad over there. I'm not going over there on purpose. You people that are involved in that, God loves you, I love you, but what you're doing, that thing is wicked and it's evil and it's sin. We're not to have fellowship with the works, the unfruitful works of darkness. In 1 John chapter 1, we read verse 7 right before that, in verse 6, if we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie. Well, nothing politically correct about that, is there? If we say that we have fellowship with him, Christ, and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. You see, if we're going to fellowship with the Lord, we can't be fellowshipping with Satan and the world system. Now, I'm not saying that we shun people who are outside of Christ. No, we're to speak the truth in love to them. We're to spread the good news of the gospel. We're to shed the light of the truth of the word of God to them. But we are to be marked by a different walk, by a different pathway. Our fellowship is in Christ, and it's with saints, and it's with the Holy Spirit, the fellowship and the work. But we are to be on guard for this fellowship of Satan. The Bible tells us to come out from among them, be ye separate, saith the Lord, and to be not unequally yoked together, 2 Corinthians 6:14. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? The prophet Amos, God speaking through him in Amos 3:3, can two walk together except they be agreed? We cannot have heavenly fellowship if we allow a hindering fellowship in our lives. 1 John 5:21, little children, keep yourselves from idols. See, we have a responsibility to engage in the right fellowship. It's important for us to be engaged in the right fellowship. But to be on guard, be aware, and not be tricked, not be lured by Satan into fellowship with the world, to fellowship with Satan, fellowship with evil. And if we say we're above that, be very, very careful. If you think you're above that, Satan has you right where he wants you. We must all be on guard. We must all be on guard because we all have that sinful nature in us. We all have the same root problem of pride, and Satan knows how to talk to us. He knows how to communicate with us to get us our attention, our focus off the Lord Jesus, off the right things, off the proper fellowship, and into the wrong fellowship. So, where are you seeking your fellowship? There, the concluding couple of questions. With the world or with the Lord and his people? Father, thank you for your word, and thank you for the specific words that are in your word. And thank you, Lord, for bringing to our attention tonight this powerful word of fellowship. And Lord, you bring us into this new dynamic, this new status of being. We are spiritually reborn, and so we are a product and a dynamically experiencing creature of relationships. And so may we thrive and nurture in the right relationship by fellowshipping together with you and in your Holy Spirit and in the work that you've called us to, with believers around us to pull together and to be encouraged by one to another. Lord, use us for your glory to magnify yourself. And even, Lord, the fellowship of suffering, when the world will reject and when the world will, Lord, sneer and mock. Their unbelief, Lord, of course, does not change truth. So may we be encouraged in our fellowship with you to count it a privilege if we should be called to suffer for your name. And Lord, continue to use us for your glory, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're praying together tonight.